10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority and the power of the Word of God. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana.
I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion
beginning September 8th through the 11th. This conference is designed to strengthen you, empower you, equip you, and bless you by focusing on the life-changing power of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform His Word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans.
These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration. You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from His Word.
Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion.
Plan now to attend the Word Explosion
beginning September 8th through the 11th
at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive.
For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com. Get ready for an explosion of the Word of God. I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you.
The Word Christian Center is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1.
KAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Are we paying close attention to the world to see how these things are coming to pass? They may not all come to pass in your neighborhood, but he didn't say it had to come to pass in your neighborhood. It just had to come to pass in the world. And so when you learn the signs and realize that they are coming to pass in this earth realm, it means that these signs are a precursor to Jesus' coming back again. That's why the world is getting wiser in their deceit, and it appears as though the believers are getting weaker in their resolve. And the enemy is using what he's got to wear us down, and we don't even see the signs. Paul is saying, listen, you have got to wake up. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 12. He says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. He says we need to wake up and cast off the works of darkness. Listen, and put on the armor of light. What he's saying to the believer is, listen, it's time out for playing church. You need to get your act together and start being the believer God's called you to be, because time is later than you think. You have got to come to the point where you realize time has been, won't be, no more. You won't be able to rewind it. You won't be able to erase it. Listen, that's why you got to work with what you got. You got to do your part. You got to do it now while blood runneth warm in your vein. And so when we begin to understand, Paul was trying to get them to understand, we have got to get busy not about church work, but about the work of the church. Taking it beyond these concentric walls of contact and moving it where the Lord Jesus Christ has desired and even demanded for the believers to take his word to the world. Maybe he hadn't called you to preach to the world, but he called you to support the preaching to the world. Maybe he didn't call you to go and be a missionary, but he's called you to support missionary work. See, there's no way you can get out of doing your part. He's either sending you or helping you send others. Y'all hear that here? God wants you to understand. Paul is trying to get them to understand. We have got to put on the armor of light. Where? Here in this dark world. Now, the armor represents our offensive and defensive weaponry and all that we have on to be according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and moving on through that to help us understand that we have got to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because if you think the enemy is going to let you do the work of Christ and do not challenge you and do not represent an offensive attack against you, who will not try and come against you, you got another thing coming. The enemy is not your friend. And when you realize that if you make one step forward and he's pushing you back two steps, as long as you keep making one step, you are advancing the Lord's kingdom. But when you stop and fall asleep, he is advancing upon the kingdom of God. And so we've got to have on the armor of light. Why the armor of light? So we can see the enemy coming. Imagine the armor of light lighting up every direction. It's omnidirectional. Every way you look, you are lighting up that area with the light of the gospel, with the knowledge of the word of God, with life-changing revelation that this dark world cannot handle without a change coming about. And you're responsible for taking the word out of the church and bringing it to school and bringing it to your job and bringing it to your homes and bringing it to your neighborhood and bringing it to your relationships. You are responsible for taking what God has given you and sharing it with like kind. When we begin to realize, verse 13 and 14 deals with three important points, and then I'm going to leave you. One is our walk. And you look at verse 13 and 14, but our walk, what's so important about our walk? Our walk says more about us than we recognize. How many times have you been either at the airport getting ready for a flight, or you took someone there, or, you know, and you had a moment to just watch folk in the airport? I was blessed to be on the airport board and had many privileges to see folk in the airport. There is an interesting array of people and how they present themselves just through their walk. You can tell people who were in a hurry. You could tell people who were lost. You could tell people who were just curious. You could tell people who were just there with somebody else. You could tell people who were waiting, hurrying up, talking about, let's go. I wish they'd come on here. I'm ready. You could tell so much about people. Then when you watch them walk, engage in their walk, Man, you know, back in the day, they don't do it so much today, but they had some hip guys. You could watch them walk, and they had a little swagger, you know. And they wouldn't pull up their pants like most folk pull their pants up. They take their elbows in. And the walk had a little. But they caught the attention of the girls. Now most, you know, I don't want to say nerds, but that's what I mean, didn't catch their attention because they kind of just, you know, got up, did what they had to do, they were there. Wasn't all of that with that. It was just, look, shoom, shoom, I'm gone. But them, they had this swagger like, look at me. I'm something else. And you know what you'd wind up saying? Look at him. You think he's something else. Because that's what the walk said. When the world watches us, it sees whether or not we're on the master's time schedule, taking care of the master's business, or we're just taking a stroll. And when they see we mean business, when they know that the king's business requires haste, they see you're serious about the things of God, and they don't take you as someone just playing around and just easing and, you know, call themselves all that, because they recognize you're on a mission. And that mission is obviously important enough to get their attention for the cause of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, when we recognize that the world watches our walk, but not only does the world watch our walk, but we watch our walk. We watch our walk. The younger saints watch the older saints walk. The younger saints pattern their walk many times after the way the older saints walk with the Lord. That's why the older saints have got to be careful how they act in the presence of younger saints, how they shape the minds and the thoughts and the spirits of younger people, because one of the things that you've got to recognize is you're going to be accountable for the influence you impact upon the younger. If you make them stumble, the Lord says you're going to have to answer for making them stumble. Nothing worse than a bitter old saint who's always grumbling, always mad, always sad, no joy of the Lord in their lives, nothing ever to rejoice about, never talk about the goodness of the Lord, always gossiping, complaining, being cynical and disillusioned, and then when they feel like having church, then they just want folk to forget about all the rest of the stuff they've done. It don't work like that. We've got to get it together. We've got to get it together. I noticed I didn't hear too much from the older part of the church, but that's all right. Listen. Not only must we watch our walk, but we must watch our worth. Our worth. Because there are six things here that Paul mentions about believers who are not steadfast and focused and who are not operating in godly manner. And those six things really have to do with their carnality. It has to do with their chaotic behavior and even with criminal intentions. All of those, you'll find them right there in that 13th verse. Why? Because what they have done is they've allowed their worth to be lowered to the standard of the world. I know this is going to blow your mind when I say that. But they got a lot of folk who's going to leave the church and go straight to hell. I'm talking about who are good members of the church, members of the church. I ain't say members of the body of Christ. I said members of the church. Because their agenda is not the Lord's agenda. And they're not following what God wants. Now, I got news for you. He's got the last word. He's got the last word. And so, listen. Verse 14 brings up that third point, that we ought to be a witness, because the world is watching our witness. The world is watching our walk. The world is watching our worth, and the world is watching our witness. It says, put on Jesus Christ. Put him on like a wardrobe, like a robe. Cover ourselves with him. Wear him so that we look like him, we talk like him, we walk like him, we teach like him, we minister like him, we remind folk of him, because we're witnesses of him. And so when we become the witnesses of Jesus Christ, listen, it is so that we don't fulfill our own lusts. What I like about the 14 verses, it helps us to understand that we've got to change our actions and our ways and our thoughts and our habits so that we don't make excuses for our failures. That 14th verse literally says we've got to put on Christ so that we don't make excuses for the way we fall. What do I mean by that? It means this very simply. God is tired of the excuses we give him as his people. You set yourself up for failure by not adhering to being what he's called you to be. Let me just give you a basic example, and you can apply it in many different areas just to help you understand. If you're going to be a witness of Christ, there are just some things Christ is expecting you to do differently from the world. A young couple are interested in each other, and they make a date, and they both say that they're Christians. Now, on the date, they decide that they're going to come back to the house after dinner, and they're going to talk about Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But what is wrong with that is when the gentleman comes to pick up the young lady, and she's dressed like a woman who's in the streets, not modest, not godly, but showing all she can show legally. And so they go to dinner. But before she went to dinner, she set up in the living room some candles to be lit later. She put on her favorite CD to play when she turns on, and ain't none of it is about Jesus. She's already got her remote to turn the lights down low. And so they go to dinner, and she says to him, excuse me, while I slip into something more comfortable. Y'all gonna get quiet because I'm telling you the truth here and you know it. Well, my God, how much more comfortable can she get when she was already in night clothes? So she puts on some soft music and she lights the candle and she lowers the lights. She smells good. She gets close. And then she says, "Now tell me about Jesus." Now, unless that's Jesus sitting next to her on the couch, I don't know how he's going to keep his mind stayed on Jesus. Are y'all hearing what I'm trying to say? She set herself up for failure, talking about she wanted a good husband. How could you when you're setting this thing up like a worldly affair? Then you want to get mad, talking about you don't treat me like a lady, you ain't treat yourself. You belong to God. You are at the highest standard and level. You are his princess. You ought to act like that. You ought to make him realize it's a blessing to be able to have you and to know that your father approves of him having your hand, because you're walking, talking, living in the light of Jesus Christ, and you ain't there for no funny business. It's either the real thing or no thing. And so you set yourself up for failure, or you set yourself up for success. So that, listen, the Bible says, so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't fool yourself, my brothers and sisters. Many of us do the same thing today in different areas of our lives. We set ourselves up for failure. If this happens, I'm going to do this. If that happens, no, it's going to be this. And if anything happens other than this, good night. That's it. Because I want to do what pleases him. And the flesh is one of the quickest ways the enemy enters in and steals our joy. Still our joy. And then the question becomes, how many of these escapades you got to run through before you wake up and realize you have set yourself up and you have ruined the witness of Jesus Christ and the world is laughing at you and you don't realize it's later than you think. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, this is your time. This is your opportunity to say to God, "God, I want to be a witness for you. I want to be worthy of you. I want to be a worker for you. I've made some bad decisions in my life. I've made some bad choices in my life. But I'm giving you all my mistakes and all my failures. And I want you to take me and wash me afresh in the blood of Jesus and make me worthy to be your child, so that I might have the best." God bless you. God bless you. "The best that you have for me. I'm tired of sabotaging my own future. I want to have what you've predestinated for me. I want to know that what's mine is mine. And I want you to lead me and to guide me into all truth. He's waiting on you. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. He's speaking to somebody right now. Come on, this is your time. It used to be a time when people would be an older age before they die, but that's not so now. Children are dying. Teenagers are dying. Young adults, middle age, and older folk are dying because Satan and death is also no respecter of persons. But the question is, are you ready? Have you believed in him? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe? He's waiting on you today. Let him in. New life can begin. He is waiting. Come on, I know you're here. God knows you're here. Come on, this is your time. Won't you let him in? New life, it can begin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're not here today by accident. God wanted you to know it's later than you think. Won't you let him in? Let him in, let him in. He'll turn your situation around. This is your time. One more time, one more time. Oh, Lord. There are five people, there are five people. The Spirit of the Living God is speaking to my heart right now about getting up out of that seat and coming to the Lord. Let me tell you why. Tomorrow, next week, is not promised to you. You've been dealing with a lot. The enemy is trying to take you out. God wants you to know it's now. It's now. Glory to God. It's now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have got to make the decision to come to him. You're not here today by accident. It is every bit of the will of God that you be here and that I be here and that you hear what he has had to say to you today. Come on, don't wait. Don't sit there when the Spirit of the Lord is still calling you. You feel the tension. You feel it. You know God is calling. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Come on. Come on, five. Come on, let him in. New life can begin. Waning, yes, he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Won't you let him in? Let him in. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, my Lord. Just say it again. I know we got him already. Heaven is rejoicing because they heard God and they responded.
We have them and the devil don't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.